On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief. Eyewear shouldn't break the bank. It's the smart way to buy glasses. GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their own home and offers a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices and with no risk. And these aren't generic frames. These are brands like Ray-Ban, Oakley, Tom Ford, and Calvin Klein. So head on over to GlassesUSA.com, use promo code ALMIGHTY, that's promo code ALMIGHTY, and get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. Again, GlassesUSA.com, promo code ALMIGHTY.
Fun to do bad things.
Problems you get, and jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing, you ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 441 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, reporting to you live from my humble shack / podcast studio, and Jose Grijalva is back, finally. Last week was brutal, McCallum going solo. Jose's back to save the day. Jose, where the hell have you been?
Well, do you hear those dogs crying next door? Oh, horrible. I've been around.
I actually
do
hear these dogs. These little, like, chihuahua-like dogs.
Yeah.
Do you live next because to the chupacabra?
No, my neighbor, actually, he's had a lot of problems with stray dogs. So now, I mean, they come and eat his food. So now he just basically locks them in his property and they become his. which I guess it's a good – it's kind of like, oh, you're hungry. If you're going to eat my food, you might as well just be mine sort of deal. So I guess that's humanitarian of him.
It's good dating advice.
Yeah, somebody wants to go out with you. You know, you're going to eat my food. You might as well be mine.
You might as well be mine. Perfect. That's what I needed to hear.
I've been doing the same thing. Just the problem with me is, you know, I was coaching one team. Now I took I decided to help out with another team, a travel team. So this team, basically some of the kids from the city, take them out to Tucson, take them out to Phoenix. We're going to take them out to Avondale, a New Mexico tournament. They're going to play at the University of New Mexico from what I understand. And then the plan is July, take a bunch of young 14, 15, and 16-year-olds to Vegas for a whole 5 days. So that should be fun.
Good idea. That's not like in the age range where they're just starting to get into girls. They don't have any of their own material back at home, and you're very, you know, controlled Christian ecosystem that is South Arizona. They're going to go to Vegas, and they're going to get little business cards flicked in their face, you know, ad nauseum. You know, over under that each kid has at least 25 of those little cards by the time you leave.
Over under, I have 25 of those little cards before I leave. No, I'm there staying in the room. One of the kids said, you know, idea. Hey, just to eat, you know, and plus the food's expensive over there, you know. So, but I Taco Bell, they just opened the T-Mobile Arena by New York. It's the only two-story Taco Bell. So, I mean, even though the food will still give you diarrhea, I'm sure, it's just a sight, so. I'll send you a picture.
It's something to see. Like, they have a two-story Whataburger in Corpus.
And you guys have Whataburgers out there, man. Last when I was out there in Phoenix, I saw a Whataburger.
Oh yeah, Phoenix Tucson, we have that.
You got Whataburger all over the place.
Yeah, I always get the same thing from a Whataburger, a triple meat triple cheese burger.
Of course you do.
With some bacon. Bacon, right? These are – I forgot. It's been so long. And fries. I love their spicy ketchup though.
Yeah. Well, we don't care. The listeners don't care about your Whataburger habits. What they care about is your opinion.
Don't know that.
That's true. I don't know that. Why don't you – everybody's listening to this. Tweet Jose if you care about him. I think they care about is your opinion on the Lakers Spurs game from just a few days ago, April. Well, not a few days ago, 2 days ago, April 5th. Spurs somehow lose to the lowly Luke Walton led Lakers for alliteration purposes only. First quarter they start getting blown out, and this is at home in San Antonio. You could have the perspective that San Antonio has kind of already shifted it into neutral. But they give up 31 points in that first quarter. San Antonio scores 14 points in that first period, and they never quite recover, and they lose 102-95. Tony Parker leads the way for San Antonio. Powell plays. He gets 8 boards. David Lee gets 6 assists. It's, those are your leaders from a statistical standpoint. Tyler Ennis for the Lakers goes off for him and gets 19 points in the Lakers win. Out of this game, I mean, what do you read into this game, if anything? Or do you agree with the assessment that, Spurs being somewhat locked into the – well, not somewhat. They're locked in into the number two position in the West. Have they just put it in neutral and shut it down for the year?
I think so, and that for me, I mean, there's people who like that idea. I personally, that gets me worried because it's easy to turn off. It's easy to turn the motivation off and sort of just say, okay, it's just the regular season. This doesn't matter. It's the Lakers. LeVar Ball, not LeVar Ball. He's Lonzo Ball, right?
Lonzo Ball.
Well, LeVar probably thinks he can still play. So Lonzo's not on the team yet. So I mean, they're not really competition this year. But I mean, it's really hard to turn it back on when it gets to the playoffs. You sort of saw that in 2014. They went to 6 or 7 games against the Mavs when Vince Carter hit that. I thought it was over. I thought they were going to be eliminated in the first round. But again, they turned it back on when they needed to. I don't know if this is that same team, but it kind of worries me. I think they are in neutral, but can they turn it back on is a whole different story.
Yeah, I'm one of these guys that I think you don't agree with, which makes for great podcasting. I feel like they need to put it in neutral. I think Kawhi's played a lot. Tony Parker, although he's old, and I mean old being 34 years old, he'll be 35, May 17th. He hasn't played as many minutes, he hasn't played as many games this year, but he could certainly utilize a little bit of rest heading into the playoffs. I think Manu Ginobili could do the same. These guys are still playing critical roles for San Antonio. All of those guys need to have a little bit of a break. And, Popovich has a history of doing this. I mean, once you're locked in, he does start resting players. And I'll tell you, it's beneficial from two perspectives. One, those guys I just mentioned get a little bit of rest. LaMarcus Aldridge get a little rest. Pau Gasol, the guy's like 45 years old. He could benefit from a little bit of rest. The flip side of that is you get to have some other players that are going to play minutes in the playoffs, i.e. Kyle Anderson, get some more repetition. They should still be fresh. So what they need is experience. You get an opportunity in the last few games of a season to, once you're already clinched, to get players like that some minutes. I mean, do you think that that's going into Popovich's mind? And can you see guys like Kyle Anderson getting more significant minutes as the season winds down?
I think he does, and I think Juice does too. I think, like how you said, everybody really that's fighting for that rotational spot is going to get those minutes. And again, it's going to really help Pop decide who's going to be the guy to back up Kawhi Leonard for those few minutes that he does not play, who can stabilize the second group, who can, create his own shot, all that stuff, defend. So I think it's going to play a huge role. Who it might be, I mean, I think that's where Kyle Anderson and Jonathan Simmons are going to be playing for that spot. Mm-hmm. It might be Kyle, just because it's both of them. I mean, you might as well flip a coin at this point, right? Because, again,
not for me.
Even though they – no.
I know who
no, not for you. Who? You think it's Kyle, right?
No, hell no. I think it's Jonathan Simmons. I mean, I have this longstanding vendetta against Kyle Anderson. I don't really know why. For me, though, it's just not Kyle Anderson. It's Jonathan Simmons, clearly. And I think Popovich thinks the same because, you know, Simmons led the team in that Lakers game with 31 minutes. Has an exceptional performance, 60% from the three-point line in that last game. Goes 3 for 5 there. Which were his only points. Of course, he had the 3 turnovers, but I mean, he had a decent game. And you know, the thing we talked about Jonathan Simmons is his athleticism, and we hoped that that would translate on the defensive end. And we've seen sort of mixed results with that. But you know, pitching in 4 assists on the offensive end, I mean, Jonathan Simmons starts getting that groove with that athleticism and that explosiveness. That's what you want. Kyle Anderson, just he doesn't have those things, and maybe he's a more heady player. And he had a good performance in that Laker game, which, I mean, read what you – Lakers suck, right? Even though they beat the Spurs, the Lakers are not good, certainly not good defensively. So read into it what you like. But they went 5 for 8. You know, Kyle Anderson went 5 for 8 from the field in that game. You know, the Lakers – this is odd. This is a weird statistic. You know, in bench play, the Lakers actually have the number one bench in the NBA. Have you heard that statistic?
No, because I really didn't care about that. You know what's my favorite part about your fallacious argument there?
Whoa, I'm impressed. Oh, my God. Look at the vocabulary on this guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely, positively, sir. You build up Jonathan Simmons from that Laker game. You said he got 31 minutes. Like, it was a big old deal. And then when you talk about poor Kyle Anderson over there, he did well because it's the Lakers. You can't have it both ways, sir. I think it'll be Kyle Anderson because the other guy can't shoot. The other guy's sketchy on defense. You know what you're going to get from Kyle. Even though it's slow and it's boring sometimes.
Right.
And he's just slow. You know, I mean, if that's your nickname, you're going to be slow. But, you know, If he can't be effective, then you don't use him. I think they just can play off Simmons. You know, have him take that jumper. He's gonna miss it. I'm gonna get more gray hairs in my beard, and it's just gonna be horrible. So no, it's gonna be Kyle Anderson by a mile. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's not gonna get any minutes, so it's okay.
Well, you know, a guy who got a lot of minutes, and I love this, and I wish the guy was getting. Well, I wish. Let me walk through this argument here, and tell you my subject. Bryn Forbes got 24 minutes in that game. 3 for 10 from the field, which is not good. 2 for 7 from three-point range, which is okay. Bad plus-minus, 3 turnovers. The challenge here is that, well, and it's my challenge to you, I guess, are the Spurs going to rely on a guy like Bryn Forbes in the playoffs to spell players like Tony Parker, Patty Mills? I mean, they're not deep anymore. You look at, from a point guard position, they have other players that play point guard either on paper like Patty Mills or, you know, in reality like Manu Ginobili that are going to play in the playoffs. But they used to go 3 deep, and you'd like to see DeJounte Murray with all that length play defense. Do you think Bryn Forbes is going to get playoff minutes? And if so, don't you think you need to have a heavy dose of Bryn Forbes in the last few games to build up some experience heading into the playoffs?
I think he might, depending on the situation. If they're down a lot, up a lot, you know, those garbage minutes, I guess you could say. I think the Spurs do like him. He's like how you said, he's not really a point guard. He kind of reminds me of Gary Neal, but a better defensive version of Gary Neal. He's not a guy who you want to run the point guard position through. I think that's where Murray comes in because he's so tall and he's versatile too. I think we're going to see Bryn Forbes as that Patty Mills / Gary Neal, and we're going to see DeJounte Murray as that Manu Ginobili guy off the bench next season. But this season, I would be surprised if he gets meaningful minutes, but I think he will get some minutes. DeJounte Murray, I think they're just probably going to shut him down because of that groin injury. You know, those usually pop up every now and then. I think I hurt my groin before. I don't want to give a story if I don't remember it too well. But I think I did. You know, my groin hurts a lot, you know, especially like playing basketball, trying to be mobile. And so I probably pulled something sometime. That's what I miss about being fat. You know, like Charles Barkley said, you don't pull fat, you pull muscle. So,
it's a single life.
Yeah. I forgot what I was talking about. Yeah, Bryn Forbes. Probably
you're talking about how you're pulling your groin.
Yeah.
At least 3 or 4 times
a week. I tried to jump really high and I didn't leave the ground when I did, and I pulled something. So now I don't try at life anymore.
Too dangerous. I understand. You know, the best part about that Laker game, for me, because there weren't a whole lot of positives to see there. The two positives, the best part for me was Kawhi Leonard played 14 minutes, LaMarcus Aldridge played 16 minutes, Patty Mills played 18 minutes, Tony Parker played 16 minutes. I love the fact – oh, Pau Gasol played 18 minutes too. I love the fact that these guys are not playing significant minutes. They're getting to rest. They're still kind of staying in the rhythm. And when I say shut it down, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Like get their routine, keep their routine going because, you know, they're creatures of habit. Let them do their warm-ups, do their pregame, get into the game a little bit, you know, have their, you know, start the game, but then shut them off pretty quickly. You don't want to risk injury, clearly, and that stuff can happen. I mean, Pau Gasol, your boy Kyle Anderson broke Pau Gasol's hand, you know, during the course of the year in warm-ups. So you don't want something silly to happen that's going to just kill you in the playoffs. But you do want to do your pregame. You want to, you know, keep the routine going so it's not so foreign to you when you get into that first round of the playoffs. So I like the fact that that's happening. The guy that I think it's really important for is a guy like Tony Parker. And he's the subject for our podcast, I think for the bulk of the podcast today. But Tony Parker is a guy, I don't think people know that he's been there for a long time, but this is a 2001 draft pick for San Antonio. That's 2001. Some of the listeners of this podcast, hell, the kids that you're coaching, that you're taking to Vegas, these young men that are going to be, you know, collecting business cards out there, they weren't even alive when Tony Parker was drafted. He was drafted at 19, and he'd already been a professional for several years. So he's been with San Antonio forever. The dude is 34 years old. He's about to be 35 years old, May 17th. He's having the worst year, statistically, he's ever had. He's playing a different role in this team. He's still starting, but he's only getting 10 points a game this year. He's only getting 4 assists a game this year. He's shooting 46% from the field, which is great, not getting a lot of shots. But if I told you that those were the lowest numbers since his rookie year, you would say what?
He's old. Absolutely. But I still think – I would say that, like how you said, he's getting into trying to, you know, be in a new role. But the problem is – It's not surprising, especially at this stage of his career, because he's always relied on his speed. And I don't blame him because, you know, I've had Spurs fans tell me, but, you know, look at Manu Ginobili. He reinvented himself. You know, he's a spot-up shooter. He's a really good defender, better defender, I think, than he's given credit for. Tim Duncan reinvented himself. You know, he went from being that four-down every play guy to the defensive anchor, you know, and having somebody else help out, you know, especially like Thiago Splitter. They sort of went through the offense through Thiago, sometimes, you know, off those pick and rolls and whatever a few years ago. But, I mean, he's not in that same situation. Those guys could play different positions. This guy is just a point guard in a position that's explosive nowadays. You got a point guard right now averaging a triple-double and a point guard on another team shooting them from half court and taking guys off the dribble like nothing. So, you know, I'm not surprised. Steph Curry. What's the other guy's name? The other Curry I like? You know which one,
Seth,
right?
Seth Curry?
Seth, yes, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I forgot. Tip of my tongue.
He's the Whopper of all curries. He's not quite Whopper the Big Mac, he's right the now. Whopper of all curries.
He's the Grand Mac, you know. but yeah, you know, he's in a really bad situation right now because he can't reinvent himself. He can't be a spot-up shooter in his position. He's not tall to be a defender, you know, to be a defender like Bowen was, yeah. You know, Ginobili nowadays. So it's hard.
Quick. He's not laterally quick. You know, he's just a bad – he's always been an offensively minded guy. And to see these kind of numbers, they're just so average. Like – you know, you listed off some of the point guards, and for the listener base, I want to sum this up, and not just how old this guy is, but how the league has changed. He's playing like in the first round. He's going to play against Mike Conley, who is I'm not going to say it's a superior talent, because remember Tony Parker was amazing. Like when Tony Parker was You know, the Tony Parker that we, you know, came to, well, actually that's part of the story, is that San Antonio's never really had a love affair with Tony Parker, but you know, the guy that's a former finals MVP, won a bunch of games, is going to be up. He's going to be sitting right next to Avery Johnson and all of his great contributions to the team. He's going to be in the rafters right next to Avery Johnson someday. He's going to be playing Mike Conley, who is a very solid and better point guard in today's NBA. James Harden's in the league. Russell Westbrook, you talked about those guys. Steph Curry is in the league. When Tony Parker started, like, in 2002 in the playoffs, John Stockton was still in the NBA. John Stockton was in the playoffs. Gary Payton was in the playoffs. Jason Kidd, now he's a coach of the Bucks, he was in the playoffs. And Mark Jackson, the worst announcer of all time, worst commentator probably in NBA history, he's not even welcome on this podcast, Mark Jackson. Stop calling me. He was in the playoffs. Tony Parker was in the playoffs way back when. So his game suffered, and the game has changed completely since – you know, he was sort of this dynamo that was able to get to the bucket, was able to do all that crazy stuff and throw up something off the glass and get it in, do that little floater. You know, and the game has changed significantly. And unlike Tim Duncan, who could switch to becoming that defensive presence, Tony Parker has nowhere for his game to evolve. I don't know if you agree with that, but I mean, what could he do at this point? You said he couldn't be a spot up shooter. He can't be a lockdown defender. I think this is the Tony Parker we're stuck with, which is, you know, a 10-point per game, 4 assists per game player. But again, he's doing that against, you know, all of the NBA. When you get to the playoffs, you're playing superior talent. I just listened to Mike Conley, James Harden, Russ, and Steph. Is there another gear for Tony Parker to get to?
No, I don't think so. And again, you just mentioned James Harden, who's a shooting guard playing that point guard position. Russell Westbrook, who's just dominating statistically out there. Mike Conley, who, you know, he's a really good defensive guy. So whatever Tony Parker would try to do against him, I think he would be able to check him easily. Remember, Parker's not a guy who could be like Rip Hamilton, run around screens, shoot a shot. He has to, you know, he has his certain spots. He has his certain shots. The only thing that's encouraged me this season, especially when he's been struggling, especially in the last few games, he's found his teardrop. He has not used his teardrop in years, it seems. So at least he's trying to get that back, trying to get in the groove. But, you know, I agree with you. He's sort of lost out there, and it's one of those situations. You know, you mentioned Gary Payton, John Stockton, all these guys. You know, like how you mentioned, the game wasn't the same as the game back then. It was a slower game, a more physical game. Now it's a quicker game, a faster game. Just to give you remember how much crap you gave me when I told you that I thought the Suns could beat the Spurs in 06? Yes. If they met, yeah. This is remember, Tony Parker was hurt. This is how he would have played against them, and I think they would have been shellacked by the Suns because of that. Lower body injuries, killer in basketball, obviously. So, I mean, again, this is the guy that's always relied on his speed. But again, it's not his fault. When you're too short to really do anything else, there's nothing you can do. If he was 6'7" and he lost his speed, again, he could be Vince Card, like how Vince Card was playing, right. Manu Ginobili's playing. But again, he doesn't have long arms. He doesn't have the height. He doesn't have the speed anymore. In reality, there's always guys that can take that spot. You know, what does Tony Parker bring? Leadership. I mean, that's all I've heard, leadership. Well, you can always get somebody else to bring that leadership.
That's like just calling white guys in any sport, like, not athletic, they're just headsy players, right? Have you ever heard that? Like, they'll say, like, Wes Welker in football is not athletic. Actually, that's probably dated. Probably nobody knows who that is. Julian Edelman is not athletic. He's just a smart player. Just saying, like, oh, he's an old guy, so he's a leader. I mean, what does that mean? Like, what does that really mean? Like, do you need him just because he's an old guy and he's been around a while? Like, he's a leader? I don't buy that. I just don't buy that. I hear that passed around. It's almost like we got to give Tony Parker a quality that can make him endearing to this, this generation of Spurs fans. But I feel like the average, like if you were a 15-year-old And you say, oh, you know what, I really want to go to the Spurs game. And you con your dad or your mom into taking you down to the Spurs game. And you're not going there to see Tony Parker. Like, you want him off the court as soon as he shows up, I feel. Because you want Patty Mills, because he's exciting, right? Tony Parker's game is not exciting, but he does do all, you know, the little things. You know, he's played in, what, 64 games this year? Or he, at least on track, or maybe he's already there. I think it's 64 games, lowest since his rookie year, or lowest since, you know, he's ever played in a non-lockout year. And maybe that's just about the right amount for a guy like that. What do you think? I know that's kind of a rant, kind of went all over the place, but just go with me there.
I forgot what you mentioned.
You questions just about Tony Parker.
Yeah.
For the San Antonio Spurs. You know, the subject of the show.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about white guys. I remember that.
We started there. Because I'm looking in the mirror, just like when I did the podcast by myself last week. I'm just looking in the mirror, and I see a white guy, a very handsome white guy. And so that's the first thing on my mind.
Yeah, I agree with you about that quality. That has to do with just fans in general. I've heard Spurs fans say, you know, when Tim Duncan retires, I hope he becomes an assistant coach because he's smart and yada, yada, yada. Same thing with Ginobili. Spurs fans want Ginobili to be a coach. I think Spurs fans kind of want Tony Parker to be a coach. But, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, they're great players, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be great coaches. And I think that goes back to your point where just because they're great players doesn't mean that they're great leaders. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the sucky players like us, well, I don't suck that bad. But, you know, I just can't score. I'm a lockdown defender at 5'5", 220. You know, sometimes those sucky players are better coaches, right? So, you know, his skills.
The Laurel and Hardy of podcasting. You're 5'5", 220, and I'm 6'2", 185.
I have no idea who those people are.
They're old guys like me. And Tony Parker, by the way, they're the same age.
Podcast with the vinyl discs and all that you had back then?
Yep.
So, yeah.
We go reel to reel back then. Reel to reel.
I don't think so. I don't think he's necessarily a great leader. I think he was a great player, but now he's transitioning to that point. I think he could be a great leader if he starts thinking like a coach out there. But again, that's just another story. So, well, I feel bad for the guy. I really do. Especially now, I would always be called a Tony Parker hater because he was the least favorite of the big three for me when I was, you know, sort of like the people hearing back then when I would hear Jeff Garcia and Michael DeLeon, you know, on the podcast. I would always rank him third, but now I kind of feel for him because, like how we mentioned, he can't really up his game. It's really try to be relevant as is, or kind of, you know, step out, and he still thinks he can bring it consistently. That's the one thing that I think is going to be interesting this off season. I think he's still with the Spurs, number one, because of loyalty. I think Pop is extremely loyal to him. Pop doesn't want Ginobili to retire either. But if they try to sort of wind down on the resting stuff, I mean, where's that going to leave Parker? Because right now he's playing like this with some rest, you know, with some leeway in that. If the NBA decides, you know, this, you know, your guys can't rest your main rotational players, they have to play every game at least 5 minutes. Where's that going to leave a guy like Tony Parker, who still thinks he can bring it every night? Are we going to see his numbers dip more? You mentioned 60
something.
Think about
it that way. Yeah, he's taking like every third game off, right? I mean, that's crazy. He's going to sit, you know, 17 games this year?
Oh, math is hard. I don't pay attention.
You know, put him in context of, and we're going to come back around and like show Tony Parker some love here on this podcast, but like put it in context with his competition. You remember, this was like 10 days ago or something. They played Golden State. Golden State came way back, 22 down. They beat the Spurs in San Antonio. Parker played that game, but he had the same number of points that I did when he was on, when Steph Curry was on the court. Steph Curry outscored him 29-0, 29-0 against Steph Curry. That's a problem. And then Westbrook got, I mean, and he's doing this to everybody, but Westbrook got 32-15-12 on Tony Parker, who had 8, 2, and 3. And the three were three turnovers, right? So no rebounds, right? So 8 points, 2 assists, 3 turnovers. He's 4 for 15. I'm stuttering all over myself here, but he had You know, if you had said your backup point guard would give you 10 points a night, 5 assists, which is kind of like what Tony's doing. I think he's like 10 and 4, I think we said at the beginning of this. 10 and 4 and a half or so. You say, oh, man, that's good. That's you would take that, right? 10 and 5? And like a true point guard, not like a Patty Mills kind of point guard. 10 and 5 is not bad. Out of your starting point guard, when you look across the table at the teams that you're supposed to be better than, and we're not even talking James Harden here. We're just talking about the teams they've played recently. Those point guards out there, the dude in Golden State put 29 on you, bro. See, I just bro'd him. And then Russ Westbrook is doing his thing. I mean, there's not even a gap. It's like a chasm between the play. And that has been San Antonio's worst position for a really long time. I don't know what they do. So talk about that. And Tony Parker and the San Antonio Spurs against Mike Conley and the Memphis Grizzlies, if that is in fact their first round matchup, they can figure that out. They're going to be fine. It might even be 4-1. They're going to figure out a way to get through that.
How do you go from gloom and doom to, they'll figure something out.
Well, I'm a positive guy. It's Friday. I'm a positive guy.
4-1. First, it's Tony Parker's so horrible and old. Whatever.
Well, no, but that game, that game against Memphis, I mean, that's all about the front court. And San Antonio's got a superior front court. I mean, dude, you're going to throw David Lee, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge at Zebo and Marc Gasol. I mean, the Spurs are going to take care of business that way. Tony Parker will probably be outplayed by Mike Conley, but they'll get through that. They'll figure that out.
I think he'll outplay Conley.
Okay, well then, fine. I mean, at least it's neutral. I'm not so hung up on that first round. They'll figure that piece out because they're supposed to, because they're a superior team. It's when you get into those second rounds, the next layer, and I'm not sure who would they play in that next round. Who would that be? That would be
4 and 5. No, 3 and 6. So it's going to be Houston.
It would be Houston. Right? Houston. So when they play Houston.
Houston, who does Houston play? Clippers?
Right now they play OKC. If it stops today, they play OKC.
I don't know about that. I think OKC can. Yeah,
it's giving people some heartburn for sure. I mean, I think Houston would win because I think that they're deeper. I think they're deeper, right? But I mean, assume that Russ Westbrook and James Harden sort of cancel each other out at least points wise. And James Harden's giving out more assists. I mean, I think it's good. Some people are saying that's like Rockets are going to take that. I've heard that a lot. And you know me, I'm like, if I was a San Antonio guy, I'm somewhat of a Rockets guy. I mean, that's got me nervous because, it's not as if there's a huge difference between the output. The different styles is huge, but the output of those two point guards, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, is not that much. I mean, one's leading the league in points, one's leading the league in assists, and they're only like 1 or 2 points or assists off of each other's numbers, right? So you're right. OKC could take that.
When you say that you've heard all this stuff, who do you hear this to? Is this sources? Broussard here?
It's like Chris Broussard. I was about to say that. It's Chris Broussard and David Aldridge. Those are my sources.
Yeah, I think Oladipo. I got to give OKC – a chance just because of Ben Bornstein's boy Oladipo on the team.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, but when they get into that round and they start playing those guys, it's going to be a problem. I mean, it's going to be a significant problem. And San Antonio, and I'm going to say this, without DeJounte Murray and the options defensively, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, how does San Antonio win that next round series? And let's just say, I mean, the Rockets are the number 3 seed, so let's say that Houston wins their first round series against OKC. And they have to play James Harden and, frankly, Patrick Beverley in that point guard role, either one of those guys. How does San Antonio win that series at the point guard position? Or do they just say, you know, we're going to get taken out from a PG spot and we're going to win everywhere else?
Are you asking me what I would do?
Yeah, like is what would you do? Like how do you – because, I mean, we like Tony – we like all that stuff. We like Tony Parker. 10-5 is great. And your starter is not the best when it's compared to these other guys. What do you do to counteract guys like James Harden.
I think the traditional Spurs fanboy response, I get whatever you want to call it, would be put Kawhi or Danny Green on James Harden. And basically go that – remember that Phoenix style when they played against Phoenix, put Bruce Bowen on Steve Nash and then, give him that trouble. If it was me – because this is not the same Steve Nash situation. Remember, Steve Nash was a distributor. He wasn't comfortable being the main option, being the scorer. That's the opposite with James Harden. He wants to be the guy, the scorer. What I would do, I would just match him up. If he wants to go, if they're going to pick and roll Tony Parker and whatever, big to death, and he's going to drop 60 points, I'd be okay with that, if you shut everybody else down. Everybody else is really a role player, a spot-up shooter. Eric Gordon, at times, he hasn't really been to the playoffs, so we don't know how well he's going to play at the same time. I would just have him, have Tony Parker be that weak link and force James Harden to shoot a high percentage to be the main option there. If you want to play him back, because at the same time, it, as weird as this sounds because we're talking about how big of a liability Tony Parker would be in that point guard position, he would still have to guard Parker. And if the Spurs, if they have Harden go off on Parker, it could be the other way around because James Harden does not want to play defense. Right. So there's going to be a point where they might cancel each other out.
I hate that you're doing this. You're stealing my points.
And, what are they going to do about Kawhi? Because Kawhi can still go off on them. Aldridge can still go off on them. They have that balance. Can James Harden really go and dominate Tony Parker, shoot a high percentage for 4 out of 7 games? I can't see that. So I would just ride with that, Harden Parker. I love it. I would go with it.
Yeah, you're stealing my points here because I feel like of course they're not going to put Tony Parker on James Harden. Of course they're not because he's not even a point guard, right? I mean, he's a shooting guard. So what they're going to do in my estimation is they're going to put Danny Green. Okay, so we're showing a little shade on Tony Parker today. We need to show an equal amount of love on Danny Green because I hear people, my sources say, and one of my sources being Twitter, people just bag on Danny Green's output. That dude is, if the Spurs have any success in these playoffs, it's going to be because of Danny Green. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Danny Green is going to get the toughest draw in every series. In every series, he's going to take their number one defense or their number one offensive player. Because you can't sacrifice Kawhi's endurance because you count on Kawhi to be your number one offensive threat. You're going to stick Danny Green on the other team's best offensive player. They're going to do that as far as they go in the playoffs. Other than, if in like the first round, Marc Gasol is their best offensive player, they're not going to put Danny Green on Marc Gasol. But, those other players, they're gonna put Danny Green on. I think that you go on the offensive because Tony Parker, as much as we're knocking on here, he could still, if he's properly motivated, he can still get to the bucket. And what you do is you just go at James Harden because they're going to have put James Harden on Tony Parker because James Harden doesn't want to play defense, right? So they're thinking, oh, they can slack off on a guy like Tony Parker who's 10 points a game against bad teams and gets shut out against good teams. Well, let's empower Tony Parker and do that crap. Don't be spot-up guy. Get to the bucket, man. Put pressure on James Harden. And if they do that, I think you start running James Harden ragged. Now, I look at the point guard depth of San Antonio and the people who could play that spot. It's pretty gnarly. Like they've got some good, they have some depth there. But I think if you put James Harden on his heels by getting aggressive with Tony Parker, I think that can definitely be to the benefit of San Antonio.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it better when I said it though.
Well, thanks. Hey, thanks for being so supportive. I really like that. Tony Parker is saying that he wants to play in the NBA until he's 40. And he's been rumored, of course, just to like go back to France. I mean, he owns a team in France. Hell, Livio Jean-Charles just went back there. How do you say it? Osvel? Or how do you say that team name?
Asvel.
Asvel. Right. You speak French. So Asvel. We think, oh, he could just go back there and play for his own team. He's got shoe deal over there. He's got a lot of things going for him overseas, of course. He says he wants to play in the NBA till he's 40, and he says that's still his plan. Even as of last week, he says that's still his plan. Do you think he's playing in the NBA at 40, and do you think he's playing for San Antonio at 40?
That's a, those are very two. Oh, man. Do I think he's 40? The thing is, I don't think so.
He's 34 right now. Today he's 34.
6 years, yeah. 6 years with this production. You know, we just spent a whole podcast putting the guy down and, you know, imagine him 6 years from now with us talking about him.
Right.
I think he wants to. I think he thinks he can. In reality, if it was anybody else at that position, you know, on this team, they would be out of there. You know, I mean, Andre Miller, he was, I think he was a little bit more effective. What he did last was it last season with the Spurs when Kevin Martin and all that?
Yeah.
I think he was a little bit more. I think Parker's stock is really inflated because of the team around him. You put Andre Miller on this team, I think he would do as well as Parker, in my opinion, especially defensively. So, you know, to my point, I think he could be because it's the Spurs, and I don't think the Spurs would be rude enough to say no, don't come back like they would any other player. But I don't think he should. I think he really needs to evaluate himself. If he's going to be playing at this level, you know, in this NBA that's evolving, especially at that position, I think that'll ruin his legacy. We like to think that a lot of those guys just think about the money, but, you know, this is, you know, they want to be thought about, you know, as much as they, you know, at a, such a high esteem, whatever you want to, however you want to say it. So yeah. I think that, like how you said, I think he might go and play in France. Own the team, you know, sort of be that owner and then play maybe. But I really think he should rethink his I could play until I'm 40. I think he can, but, you know, I think a line has to be drawn somewhere. Or maybe a law. Make it illegal for Tony Parker to play.
Well, then you're president. He might do that. I think 40 is a long way away. He's going to be 35 on May 17th, so he's essentially a 35-year-old. 5 years, when an NBA career is less than 5 years, an average, right? You're going to say this guy's going to get extended to that time. I just can't see him being a starter. Maybe he's – I can't even see him being in the league at that age. And I'm not trying to be negative. My challenge – I guess I agree with you because – Say that he's the starter for San Antonio until he's 40. Or actually, let me back off of that. Say that San Antonio trades him, right? Puts him into some deal and gets and moves him, and some other team gets a veteran. You know, because that's a lot of times people think, oh, I need a veteran, and you know, a key position, you're going to do well. There's nowhere to put him that he's not going to be in the same competitive layer with these other, you know, the changing names, and we brought that up: James Harden, Russ Westbrook. Steph Curry, think if he went out east. Like, where would you put him if he was an Eastern Conference point guard? Because you got, like, Giannis on – I can't even say it. The Milwaukee Bucks guy, the guy who's 8 feet tall playing point guard. John Wall's out there. Kyrie's out there. Dragic's out there. Kemba Walker's out there. I mean, you know, these are, like, stud point guards that are out there. There's not a lot of places where Tony Parker can go. I mean, he might go to a team where expectations are low and you want that kind of, I know we said quote-unquote veteran leadership, but I think that wears out too. I can't see him playing. What I'm saying is I can't see him playing at 40. It's just such a long way away. And I think his motivations are going to change at that time. The thing is he's got options. Because he's such an entrepreneur and such a magnet in a lot of ways that he has options, and that's probably the best thing for him. I mean, think if you were think if you're Andre Miller today, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're begging Ice Cube to call you so you could play in the big three, right? like Tony Parker could do 1,000 different things, and I think when you're that versatile. You start looking at your other options a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, and I think it would help his legacy with San Antonio because, like how you mentioned, I think he gets an unfair rap with a lot of Spurs fans because, again, he's not as popular as the other two that weren't in that big three. So, again, if he overstays his welcome, what was that saying from The Dark Knight? You die a hero, you live long enough to be the villain.
Okay.
Is that it? Something like that. I mean, you either retire the lovable, you know, Frenchie, or you overstay your welcome and everybody hates you. I think that's how it might be with San Antonio. But again, that's a lot of money to not – he's under contract for the next 2 years at like $14 million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money to leave on the table. I wouldn't even leave five cheeseburgers out, you know, let alone $14 million.
Yeah, but that guy can make $14 million overseas, right?
You make it sound so easy. What kind of friends do you have that, you know, $14 million? No, absolutely not.
That's not what you're getting off of Project Spurs?
This time with you is priceless. I don't get paid for this.
I don't know if he can make that overseas or not, but you're right. I mean, he's got a lot of different – he's got some options. You know, other thing that I'd bring up on Tony Parker, maybe it's a little misplaced in the podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway because we brought it up earlier in the year where, you know, you had the Sports Illustrated top 100 players, and Tony Parker wasn't in it as a top 100 player. And we went through that exercise and tried to think of, are there really 100 players that are better than Tony Parker? And we said, well, you go five deep at every position is an easy way to think about it, right? Like, who are the top five centers, top five point guards, top five, you know, whatever. And then you get to 25. And then you go to the backups for those spots. I mean, do you still hold on to that today? And let me put it in this context. Just 3 years ago, because they've been done that top 100 for a long time. 3 years ago, Tony Parker was number four overall. That's pretty, I mean, let that sit in. He was number four overall. He's the fourth best player. And today, and he's not in it at all. So I put that in context. Then I think it was probably inflated. I mean, seriously, 3 years ago, he's number four overall. That's pretty tough when you think of, like, okay, LeBron's there, so he's number one for sure. And then, you know, you got a couple other players there that are, you know, I mean, I can see him being number four is kind of inflated. But he's still top, you know, top 20. I mean, I don't know how far you want to throw that down, but he's still pretty close. Now I'm sorry, my chair is breaking underneath me if you hear all that noise.
Are you balking?
Yeah, pretty much. That's in my plan for this week. But now he's not even in it. Do you still think that Tony Parker's not in it? Like, he's still not a top 100 player? I mean, given how the league's gone this year, it's almost impossible for me to think a guy who's going to be in the rafters next to the prestigious Avery Johnson and all that he's done, that Tony Parker is going to be in the rafters and he's not a top 100 NBA player, according to Sports Illustrated.
I totally agree with it. Do you remember one of the things that we had a gripe with that list or whatever? I forgot what list it was. It was a few lists, right? The top 100. Yeah. Was that they picked Manu Ginobili over him. You remember that where we thought
– Manu Ginobili was like number 70 or something. I mean, he wasn't like 99. He was way up there.
Yeah, and I mean, we complained about that. We said, you know, yeah, but, you know, Ginobili's not going to be that good. And I'm talking about Tony Parker off that list and Ginobili playing better than Tony Parker. So I totally agree he should not be on the list. Manu justified himself, especially in his last season. I don't think Tony Parker should be on that list. He's still, you know, he's better than a lot of third stringers and better than a lot of backups right now. So he's not horrible, but again, he's not really that top player that they need him to be, especially to justify that contract.
Well, yeah, if you put it in context of the contract, I mean, he makes the fourth most money on this team. You know, LA is at 20 million, Kawhi is at 17 and a half, Powell's at 15 and a half, and then there's Tony at about 14 and a half. And you know, and remember, Manu made like nothing. You know, he was basically homeless last year, right? And you know, now he's making 14 million on a makeup deal. But both of those guys, you know, and the last two members of the big three, I mean, that's $28 million, $28.5 million. It's a lot of cash. You think about that. The top six players on the Spurs are in double digits, and top six meaning just in salary. So let me go through this. LaMarcus Aldridge is at $20 million. Kawhi's, I said, 17.5. Powell's at 15.5. Tony's at 14.5. Manu's at 14. Danny Green's at 10. And then you drop down to Patty Mills is 3.5 mil. Now, next year, Patty Mills is going to make a bunch of money because somebody's going to pick him up for a bunch of cash. But there's a big drop-off between 6 and 10. For sure. So with that money, it's tough to justify.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else, or do you just want to close this out? I know you've been hating on Tony Parker for a really long time, so we're probably going to get some emails about this. But, you know, just before we close, in any case, if the Spurs are going to be successful in this year's playoffs, they're going to have wonderful games from Kawhi Leonard, consistent and great performances by LaMarcus Aldridge, and they're going to have their front court depth is what's going to take them there. But if their back court, especially at the point guard position, whatever form that takes on, you know, Manu playing point, Tony of course playing point, Patty playing this hybrid thing that he does so well, if they don't play well in the backcourt, they're going to get crushed. And so we need guys like TP to step up and just have an amazing postseason. And there's nothing more that I want for a guy like Tony Parker to go in there average 15 points a game, right? That would be unbelievable for this postseason. And that's stuff that you retire on, you know, if you're that. You walk away at that point. If he puts 15 points in, you know, a game, 15 points and like 7-8 assists, that's an amazing game.
What if Kyle Anderson scored 15 points per game? How happy would you be?
You send him back down to D-League.
Because apparently they're getting spanked by 30, so he has to score 15. Is that your logic there?
I think so. But you know, we're going to need guys like Tony to do fantastic. So it's like, I know we've talked about him in a very negative sense here today, but it's kind of like, it's tough love, right? That's what you always say to the kids you're coaching, right? It's tough love.
Yeah, that's exactly what I tell them. Absolutely. No, I tell them, to listen or to get out, you know?
Right.
I mean, we went 3-0, right? So in the next two, they stopped listening to me because apparently I didn't, you know, I wasn't coaching, you know, enough. And then we lose two and then they're begging me to coach. It's just, you know, parents, make your kids coachable. Yeah. That's what I wanted to get out of it.
Hey, that's a great story. You should say that one again.
All
right, that's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Follow us or follow any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Head on over to ProjectSpurs.com. They got some great stuff over there. Jose, thank you so much. And to you listeners, you are welcome.